Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, I'm Heather McGregor.
Hello, Heather. Mike, I'm Annie's husband.
Hello, Kamala Hoyos. Heather's husband, my date.
My date to my section editor of Neptune.
This young man husband.
Hello, Carola. It's lovely to be back on the podcast.
We've had quite a week. You've taught me what strategic networking is. It's not that easy.
No, but I've taken you to the best place to build a strategic network, which is the Chelsea Flower Show Gala Preview.
Tell me, what do you think of it so far?
Good fun. Reminds me of Wimbledon a little bit without the tennis. A few more flowers, precariously placed. But I live in fear of looking at somebody and going, I know who that is, and then forgetting their name. What about you?
Yeah, well, we knew Toby Haywood.
Yeah.
We saw him. We've seen Karen
McCall. I recognised her. She's hard not to recognise.
Yeah, so that was great. Then we saw Adam Walker, who's the finance director of GKN.
Yeah.
And we saw Stuart Chambers, who's the chairman of Wrexham and Arm Holdings.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're doing quite well, really.
Yeah, yeah. So now we're going to finally look at some flowers.
Don't be stupid, Carola. We are going to go and meet some more people.
All
you can
right.
Look at flowers anytime. You can come back on Friday and look for flowers for £35. You know, these tickets tonight are £500 or £600 a go.
Women are particularly bad at building a strategic network. So that's why I wanted you and I to go there and see if we could be any better at it.
What do you think?
I wasn't that impressed with myself, but I was very impressed with you.
Oh yes, I was deeply impressed with myself as well. Not at all. But
the fact that you've made a really useful contact in the queue to get in, that tells me that you are really on the right track.
Well, thank you. He had a wonderfully bright blue suit, so it was a very easy icebreaker.
Luckily, we're going to learn something about this now, because we're with the woman who knows all about why it's important to build a strategic network. Hermine Ibarra is the visiting professor of organisational behaviour at the London Business School. She's written a fabulous book called Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader.
Hello, Heather and Carola.
When we told men about the thesis of this podcast, and it wasn't a hugely scientific pool of people, it would probably about 8 men, every single one of them said, rubbish. Women are not worse at networking than men.
There is no evidence whatsoever that women are worse at networking than men. Absolutely not. But there are barriers that are structural and demographic that women face in male-dominated areas because of the likes attract principle. There was a study of the hobbies and personal pursuits of board members of Fortune 500 boards. They were very different for men versus women. Women did museums and culture and so on, and men did a lot of sports, for example, just to take the most obvious one. And so we live in a world where our activities outside of work are still somewhat different, which creates fewer opportunities for that kind of laid-back situation where you could say, you know what, my ambition really is to go for that job. What do you think? But you're having it over a glass of wine. You're having it over a steam. You know, my colleagues at INSEAD go to the sauna to relax together, and they've invited me, but I said, no, thanks. And so that's the difficulty.
But I used the fact that I was often the only woman in the room when I was covering energy, for example, or defense, or even when I was at the United Nations in my first job. And yes, there were the cigar groups that the Bill Richardson, then the US ambassador to the UN, had, and where only boys were allowed to come and play poker and smoke cigars. But I used to great effect the fact that I was the youngest and almost always the only woman in a room. You say likes attract, but in my experience, opposite attract.
Yeah. Well, it's certainly a good attention getter. Having something distinctive is something that can draw attention to you. But remember that networks are not about one-shot interactions. They're what happens after you have the foot in the door.
Yeah.
And the extent to which both people are somehow motivated to say, you know what, I want to stay in touch with that Carola. We should have lunch together. You know, there's something interesting there. I want to get to know her better. There's like six 60 years of research that shows that the human being is intrinsically narcissistic, and anything that kind of reinforces their sense of who they are, that feels comfortable because it feels like them, is going to get more benefit of the doubt.
You talked then about the fact that, you know, the first meeting is only the start. And when we were at Chelsea, I met three new people that night who were completely new to me at different stages, all of whom I'd like to stay in touch with. One was the CEO of Poundland. I discovered that he lived quite near me at home. Mm-hmm. And so I invited him to my son's new bar that he's opened because I thought that would break the ice. And then I gave him my business card and he wrote to me the next morning and said, let's all meet at the bar. So that was very helpful.
So you've introduced me to a whole bunch of people and I've introduced you to one or two. How would you suggest I follow up with the people you've introduced me to where all they have seen is a tall, smiling woman? How do I capitalize on this?
You've got the perfect opportunity. You can write and ask them to do, you know, at work with the FT.
Oh, it was lovely to see you at the Chelsea Flower Show with Heather.
Yes. And
a little bit of Heather gold dust,
yeah,
you know,
that's right.
Name dropping.
Lovely to see you at the Chelsea Flower Show with Heather. And I wondered whether you'd be remotely interested in doing, you know, a piece with us on at work with the FT.
Okay.
Although there were flowers there, not many people were looking at flowers, but there were flowers and gardens there, and lots of people are interested in flowers and gardens.
You know, there was an interesting article in the New York Times yesterday about why Hillary Clinton is disliked. And the hypothesis was that she has no hobbies, that she is simply a two-dimensional CV.
Because it's so easy for somebody like Hillary Clinton to have loads of hobbies, raise a child.
I cannot agree more. But at the same time, I think it's true. And that's one of the things that I often see in the corporate world is that when people don't know anything about you outside your work life, whether you're male or female, they don't trust you because they haven't seen you with their partner. They don't know if you have a partner. They don't know what you enjoy doing. They haven't seen you in a more relaxed atmosphere. Now, unfortunately, that happens more to women because they feel like maybe nobody cares about their interests outside the workplace, or they will be discounted for it, or they have fewer of them.
Or they talk about their kids and schooling, which is, you know, which is the big thing, but it's such a damper. And the other thing is, men still generally have wives, and wives need wives, right? So if you want to have a hobby like golf or rugby, those kind of things that men have in common, then you need a wife at home dealing with the kids, right? Even if you're rich and you have
more.
A nanny.
A lot of the strategic networking happens exactly at the time women who have kids need to be home taking care of dinner and seeing their children before they go to bed.
Do you find it easier to network with another person? You can introduce yourself and say, look, let me be very generous and introduce this rather clueless-looking editor of mine.
No, but the good thing about introducing my clueless editor is that I can say, if I'm not quite sure who it is, I can say, this is Carola Hoyers. And then they have to say, hello, I am Stuart Chambers, or whoever it is that you've forgotten the name.
You forgot Stuart Chambers' name?
No, I didn't, but I have to tell you, it was touch and go about whether I remembered his wife.
The guilty part, that aspect comes in when it comes to strategic networking with particular senior people in your field that you know you need to get a project, to get a promotion. And it feels utilitarian in ways that relationships shouldn't. Because when you're networking, you're approaching it as a building a relationship, but underneath you've got an agenda. It's not that you like them. It's not that you want to get to know them. It's that they can be useful to you. Mm. By and large, everybody feels a bit dirty about this. There's been research that shows that people feel dirty when they have to network instrumentally that way. There's some hilarious studies that even show that in experiments afterwards, they will be more likely to choose personal products that have to do with hygiene and cleansing.
Did you have a shower after Chelsea?
Actually, you know what? I did have a bath.
but that happens much more when it comes to having to get to know senior people in your company, but who are maybe two levels above and not in your area.
And let me ask you about sport, because one of the ways I find that men break the ice is to talk about football. And yes, the story of Leicester City is a fabulous human story, and I'm very happy to talk about that, right? But I find it really inauthentic to comment about Arsenal, and if I really have absolutely no interest in that sport.
I've had this debate I don't know how many times over, right? And it kind of splits right down the line. There are women who will tell you, hey, you know, it's a tactic, just like you do your homework on anything else.
Yep.
It helps. It doesn't take that much to kind of scan the sports page, just chuck it up and do it. And then there's others who say, like you, I couldn't be bothered. This is just not who I am.
We're in the cab from Chelsea to dinner, and I wanted to ask you, when you're networking at a big event like that, and people are really seeing kind of, what do we see, 50 people or something, how do you stand out? Is it clothes you wear? Is it, I mean, it's easy, that guy we met who was like 6'5" forever will be the tall guy we met.
Well, when I meet people for the first time, one of the things I try and find out is, you know, what are they interested in? You know, I mean, you know, we talked about the banality of starting by asking about their shoes. At a place like that, you'd start with gardens, and I'd certainly try and find out if we had anything in common. Are they FT readers, for instance?
But you don't have that much time. At these things, you might have
No. When I get a minute or two. Before I go to sleep, I will write down a list of the follow-ups from that. So let's take Sam Laidlaw, who's somebody that you hadn't seen for a long time. Do you want to stay in touch with Sam Laidlaw? If you do, then you probably now, Carola, ought to do something about writing to him and sending him a note and sending him something.
Actually, something like a present.
Like a present.
Oh my goodness, what would I send to Sam Laidlaw?
Now I'm taping.
Okay, is this your first year doing the catering? Because it used to be Doe & Co.
Carola was most impressive. She walked right up to celebrity chef Raymond Blanc and demanded to meet him.
I really felt brilliantly supported that the creative power behind Ce Jardin Blanc.
It's a garden named after you.
Because the whole idea of this garden is to try to take you away from the corporate world.
Right.
The whole idea of this garden is to be childlike, is to be fun, to be informal, and also to create an environment for you which is taking away from the hard side of the corporate side, so you can smile tonight and be happy and relax and enjoy and celebrate life.
And meet useful people.
This is a pretty big crowd of pretty important British businessmen. Do you think that maybe a year or two down the road somebody can tap you on the shoulder and say, oh, you know?
Well, I hope it's before. yes, you meet some very... I mean, you have half of Great Britain's power here, powerhouses, in terms of ideas, creative ideas, entrepreneurs, and so on. And it's really lovely because those people travel. Half of them are my guests of Le Belmont Le Manoir Quatre Saisons, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Because they're people who are sophisticated, they travel, they know what is good. They expect... There's a huge expectation as well. That means... Definitely, if I don't deliver, I would be in trouble, but I
well,
will deliver.
I've been eating it, and I also have been to the Manoir, and it's fantastic food in there. So.
Oh, that's really lovely of you. Really lovely.
What I noticed about Chelsea was that everybody basically was 40 to 65, perhaps a little older. There were very few people who were younger. And if you want to grow your business, if you want to know what the next disruptor is, and if you don't want to be part of that little silo, chances are, given how long our careers are going to be, we're going to have to know those 30-year-olds.
You have to find a way to bring them in very systematically. You know, the World Economic Forum years ago noticed the very same thing, and they put in a very specific program to bring in millennials called the Global Shapers, because otherwise that generation was not part of the conversation. And by the way, oftentimes they're experts. They're giving keynotes. They're doing consulting, particularly on digital and tech topics. I had one young woman who was extremely expert who told me, I never do any networking before my talk because nobody wants to talk to me. They assume I've of no relevance. But once I've given my talk, everybody comes up to me.
At the end of our podcast, we always ask a few irreverent questions. After all, it's called Irreverent Questions with Mrs. Moneypenny. And you've known me long enough to know that I ask all sorts of wacky questions anyway. But we were talking about the business of strategic networking, and I'm really interested to know what the most awkward networking moment you've ever had was.
Yesterday at the Chelsea Flowers Show, I spotted the one, you know, I've just moved here, so I don't know anybody. I spotted the one person I thought I knew, and I walked up to her, and she was with her partner. I said, oh, of course, we just saw each other at whatever, and it was the wrong person.
The two of us, we went round the Chelsea Flowers Show noticing people's shoes, and I love your shoes. These are like a metallic loafer. I can only describe them as that. They are real standout shoes.
interstellar looking.
Yes.
Yeah, I have to say, they are huge conversation breakers. I've had incredible conversations as a result of my shoes. Yesterday, I was visiting a boarding school that I hope my son gets into, and the head teacher loved my shoes. And so, you know, if I can use it to get my son into school, fantastic.
So I have an irreverent question for you. We used to joke that we judge CEOs by their wives. Are there any shortcuts you take in terms of making snap judgments about people that you, of course, overturn as you get to know them?
I have mixed feelings about that question. As a woman, and most women I know instinctively have a radar out for, does the person's spouse work or not? That's kind of a first cut. But I have a lot of tolerance for the bling factor and the fashion factor and everything else. Just recently, I had a supermodel in one of my programs, and everybody was expecting her to not be very clever at all. She was brilliant. And so you can't assume, you know, sometimes maybe I'd rather look that way myself.
Maybe I'm just a judgmental, mean woman hater. One last one from me. Smart, pretty, funny. What's best for networking?
Funny.
That's very helpful, actually. That's obviously why I trained to do stand-up comedy. So you do a lot of speaking. And what is the one bit of technical equipment that you wouldn't like to speak without?
A really good PA.
You mean personal assistant or PA system?
Personal assistant.
Oh, right.
So not that. a human being who will call me and say, don't forget this, don't forget that, who will make it such that the absent-minded professor that I am isn't going to mess it up in any of the ways that I could mess it up.
Hermione, thank you so much for hosting us today, and thank you for agreeing to do this. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to come around and tell you that I did try out your ideas, and they worked.
You haven't told me the one crucial thing, is how do I get myself invited to Monday night at the Chelsea Flower Show next year?
I will take you next year, that's a promise.
Oh, you just dumped me as a date?
There you go.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.